So, Will, we have been back for a month now, releasing more regular episodes to all listeners than we have for a while. How are you feeling?
Do you know what? I am absolutely loving being back. And I'm loving... I've loved everything we've done so far. But if I had to pick a highlight, I think it'd have to be that Robson and Jerome album. Oh, is that... Or have we not released that one yet? I'm not sure. Is that a spoiler?
That's what's going to be the surprise episode for this month. So thank you. Well, you've ruined that.
The surprise episode is... No, what I have loved is, lame jokes about Robson and Jerome aside, is the stuff we've already talked about has reminded me about albums that we still need to talk about. And we've mentioned M People a lot recently, and we've been talking about The Killers a lot that we haven't spoken about in ages. It's just reminded how much more work we've got to do.
There's a lot more work to do. We've got to get our hands mucky. But likewise, I've loved being back. So far, we have spoken about ABBA, we've spoken about Pet Shop Boys, we've spoken about Blur, and we're talking about another iconic pop act this week.
We're on very comfortable territory in today's Track by Track. It's Girls Aloud, and we're doing Tangled Up.
Hello. You're listening to Track by Track with me, Dan.
And me, Will. This is the podcast where you take a great pop music album and break it down, track by track.
Yes, it's the Track by Track show. And on the turntable this week, we've got Tangled Up by Girls Aloud.
Oh, Dan, what an exciting time to be a Girls Aloud fan. And I'm so happy to be saying that again.
It really is, Will. And of course, I said welcome to the Track by Track show. The reason that we are releasing this episode, which went out on Patreon a couple of years ago, is because the Girls Aloud show, the gals' first tour in over a decade, is starting this month, starting in just a few days.
Not only that, we are in the midst of their re-release campaign for every Girls Aloud album, and it seems to be picking up pace, because no sooner had we had the expanded version of What Will the Neighbours Say, the 20th anniversary edition, that we then headlong now into the subsequent releases as well. And What Will the Neighbours Say was such a treat, because we got all of the remixes, all of the B-sides, all present and correct as they should be. But we also got some unheard tracks as well, didn't we?
We did. I think I know which one was your favourite, Will.
I loved Disco Bunny.
And can you guess which one I really liked?
Wicked Game?
Yes! When I heard that they'd covered that, I just couldn't believe it wasn't anywhere to listen to. So I was thrilled to hear that. I think it was a great cover. I'm not too mad that it wasn't a single, but I think they did a great job with it.
I could kind of see why it wasn't a single, but it was one that we knew for so long that they had recorded a version of. It was always that mythical Girls Aloud version of a classic song. It was just so good to finally hear it. But I think Disco Bunny was the pleasant surprise for me, because that was a banger that we never knew existed. It's the banger you never knew you wanted. But also, it came out just before Easter, so I liked the kind of the fit to that. It also felt like it has had, whether it was a demo at the time, it's felt like it's had a good spit and polish to bring it a little bit more up to date for a release.
But as well as that, Will, we are also getting the 20th anniversary editions of the album. So we've had Sound of the Underground, we've had What Will the Neighbours Say, we've got Chemistry to go yet. Personally, of course, fingers crossed, I really want the vinyl of the Christmas album. And then, in a couple of years' time, we're going to get an anniversary edition of Tangled Up. And this, I think, is my favourite Girls Aloud studio album, so I cannot wait for even more bonus tracks. Fingers crossed.
fingers crossed indeed. And there's so much to talk about, or that we will talk about on this album. Well, we already know what we're talking about because we have already recorded the body of this episode. And we cover a lot of ground on this episode with Girls Aloud, with Xenomania, with other pop things going on at the time. So there's much to enjoy in this episode. And I was trying to think as well, what Girls Aloud albums we've still got left to track by track.
And it's just the main Chemistry album, because we've done the Christmas one.
It is, and oh, that's going to be a good one, isn't it? I've enjoyed all, I mean, we talk about our girl band allegiances, your Spice Girls, I'm Girls Aloud, but we still love the other ones as well. And I've always enjoyed our episodes where we do Girls Aloud. And we've had many more episodes where we can do Girls Aloud versus Spice Girls.
And of course, yeah, Spice Girls are my number one, my gals, but adore Girls Aloud. How could I not? And so I'm really looking forward to doing Chemistry. And of course, that will presumably that will get the 20th anniversary treatment next year. So I think that would be a great time for us to go track by track through it.
Who are Girls Aloud, though? Do we need to say, we always do this with our faves, don't we? Do we need to say, well, they're a five-piece girl band formed from Popstars, The Rivals, Nicola, Cheryl, Kimberly, Nadine, and of course Sarah, who is still much missed and much loved. Of course, it wouldn't be right if we didn't take a moment to share that and recognise that this, another Girls Aloud episode post the passing of Sarah. Again, a big dedication this episode goes out to her.
Yeah, and listening to the album ahead of recording, it's such a bittersweet thing, isn't it? Because it's incredible pop music. It brings back so many memories. But then you get that line when it's Sarah's solo moment and kind of you get the goosebumps and all the memories come flooding back and all the feelings of, you know, finding out that she was ill and, you know, being at Magda Hoopla last year and the day after finding out that she'd passed away. It's a very, recording a Girls Aloud episode is a very bittersweet experience, I think.
Yeah, which is something that I guess I never expected it to be. And I suppose a lot of people listening to this never expected it to be bittersweet, such as the cruel twist and turn that life can give us. So, but obviously we're going to throw ourselves into this episode and celebrate it and celebrate Sarah and the girls and have a good giggle along the way as only we can. As only we can? Well,
mainly we can.
As partially we can. And just to finish ourselves off, no, just to finish the intro off.
Each other off.
Just to finish each other off. Oh, Dan, you've completely thrown me with that there. Just to finish us off here, I'm tangled up now, tongue tangled. Tangled Up was the fourth studio album. And was released on the 16th of November 2007, followed The Sound of Girls Aloud, The Greatest Hits, and we had Out of Control in 2008 as well after that. And I can't wait to talk about that one as well.
We've done it.
Well, whilst you leave that hanging, let's put the first one on, shall we?
Let's do it. It's side one, track one, Call the Shot. Just cause you're
Call the shots there. Dan, get ready for a big claim. Is this one of the greatest pop songs of recent times?
I think yes. But also, I think we could say that about so many of Girls Aloud's songs. They just, we've said this on so many Girls Aloud episodes, but they just crossed so many styles and genres. And because of that, it's almost like their music leaked into the ears of people who wouldn't normally listen to them. So you had fans of rock music or indie music or dance music just loving Girls Aloud songs. And yeah, this is a prime example of why, because it's just completely faultless songwriting and production and performance, of course, from the girls.
Dan, don't ever say leaks like that again either. It made me feel very uncomfortable.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me think of another one. It seeped from the girls into...
No, that's worse. That's worse.
Oh, sorry.
I just think when I talk about the quality pop production, this is what I mean. Just this kind of mid-tempo, but at the same time, just very banging mid-tempo melancholic song. And I can imagine the Pet Shop Boys loving this because it's totally their kind of bag in that slightly heartbreaking but ever so danceable music. And I think for the first track on this album, it kind of showcases, you know, we've got some fun knockabout songs to come, we've got some more experimental songs to come, but this showcases a maturity, but at the same time holding on to the pure pop, dance pop roots at the same time.
Absolutely. And when I see the title, I even think to myself, oh yeah, Call the Shots, that's one of their slower songs. And it, you know, it kind of is compared to Sexy No 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 or Something Kind of Ooh, but it's got a beat to it. It's got fantastic synth loops in there. It's not a ballad, really, by any means. But as I said, just the way it's produced, just those synths and those beats are so chunky and so rounded. But then you've got the guitar in there. And of course, the guitar, always such a prominent part of Xenomania's songs. It's just stunning. And again, the vocals, not only their individual lines, but also great backing vocals or BVs. As I know you like to call them, Will. Some great BVs in this one.
And also, I love... So, Miranda Cooper, of course, is one of the key songwriters on this track and on all the tracks on the album. But I love how involved she was in this track as well and how she wanted to make it something. How she wanted to make it something to promote womanhood, to promote independence. And I think it's not the first time that she's got a very specific aim in one of these songs on this album behind it.
And the girls themselves did say that they felt like this was a more mature sound with more mature themes, didn't they? So that all makes sense. And of course, it was four albums in with the greatest hits in between, so they had grown up. So as much as, you know, Sound of the Underground and Long Hot Summer and all that kind of thing would always be an important part of them and tracks that still continue to play, they needed some slightly more mature material.
And this song, I heard this on Radio 2 a couple of months ago, actually, and it sounded as fresh today and timeless and as radio-friendly. And although it's not as big and bold as some of their biggest hits and most known songs, this is one of their very respectable, very loved tracks, you know, for good reason.
So respected, Will, in fact, that this was the winner of the 2008 £20 Pop Justice Music Prize.
And Peter at Pop Justice bloody loved Girls Aloud, and this was, again, peak Girls Aloud. I'm not surprised. This song won for reasons of being an amazing song, brilliantly written and produced and sung, but also it being a fantastic tool in Girls Aloud's hits box. Also, Dan, and I know you normally touch on this, but I just wanted to say, you've got Miranda, Brian and Tim writing this song, but also you've got Giselle Somerville, who's a co-writer on this song. And you might not know who that is, but I remember her as one half of Mania, a pop duo from Xenomania back in 2004.
Yeah, I remember the name Mania, but no, I couldn't have put the two together.
And they had some fantastic songs. Money in My Pocket, Looking for a Place, I'm Not Shy, which Frank also did as well. Remember Totally Frank, I think it was, from Sunday Mornings on T4. And they were just wonderful, very short-lived, brilliantly offbeat and quirky. But we only ever got an album sampler, so that's a shame. Brilliant B-side to this when it was released as a single, Blow Your Cover as well. I know you're not a huge fan of it, Dan.
Yeah, because we have been doing our research, because we've got the Girls Aloud Further Listening episode coming up, and they had so many B-sides out there.
High caliber,
rivaling Pet Shop Boys. But yeah, that one wasn't one of my favourites. I mean, I've whittled down my five choices for that, and that one's not in there. But hey, maybe it'll be one of yours. Maybe we'll be talking about it.
Well, I look forward to seeing your whittlings.
My whittlings are already there for you to see, Will.
Great, thank you. Dan, I'd love to know, this was a single. Tell us what else was going on in the charts. Second single.
So yeah, this was the second single released in November of 2007. Now, interestingly, this is when downloads were having more of a play in the charts. So it entered at number 9, but then crept up to number 3 the following week, where it would stay for 2 weeks.
We love a riser. Brilliant. It doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't.
Or more recently, anyway.
And you did say, Will, to expect some iconic charts and some iconic hits during the chart chat this week. Well, this is one of them. Number 1, you had Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis, who was there for many, many weeks. In the top 10, you also had Take That with Rule the World, Timbaland with Apologize, Mark Ronson and Amy Winehouse with Valerie, Shane Ward with Breathless, Kylie Minogue with Two Hearts. I mean, just what a walk down memory lane.
And it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
Sorry, Will, I didn't know I hadn't warmed up for that one. I do apologize.
Well, let me know when you do finally warm up.
And before we move on from this one, Will, a friend of mine for a long time thought the lyrics were "just cause you're ace in the bed and call the shots now."
But we all know it actually is
"just cause you're acing the bets." I don't actually know what the lyrics
raising are. Raising the bets, isn't it?
Just cause you're raised. Of course it's raising, yeah. I was the pressure. Of course I knew that.
Right, Dan, hold on to your hats for track 2. Close to Love.
So close to Love there. I love that they've gone straight into an album track and following Call the Shots, which we said was maybe a little bit more mature, a little bit more sultry, but still wonderful. This is just packed full of energy and the sort of quirkiness that you expect from Girls Aloud and from Xenomania. It's just such an incredible step into the rest of the album.
Yeah, it's a wonderful callback to Girls Aloud's fun, attitude filled, guitar driven, power dance pop style that only the girls and Xenomania together could create. Apart from On the Metro, which was very good and not Xenomania, and a banger. But this is like, I love it, it's track 2, because you've got that kind of classy mid tempo, slightly Euro pop opener, but then you're properly in and it's like, yes, this is Girls Aloud, and I think all the hallmarks are there. So you've got that really grinding loud guitar, fantastic synth work, so many layers to the synth work in there, you'd lose yourself. But then Nadine is there and you can hear her vocals. She's got such an amazing voice, and she knows how to belt it out on these Girls Aloud bangers, doesn't she?
Absolutely. Yeah, so much energy, so much spunk from the girls. Quite an American phrase, that, actually.
Mm.
And of course, this is where they sing Tangled Up, the name of the album.
Yeah, and I love the kind of the unusual structure to this song, and especially the outro to it with the man with the chemical stare. Hands off. Guy with the terrible hair, back off. Dude with the look in your eye, leave it. No, leave it.
Leave it. It's like me talking to
get in your bed. Get in your bed.
That is actually one of my, I mean, I love all the elements of the song, but likewise, I love that it's not a fade out. You still have that energy. and again delivered in a new way, because as we know, Xenomania rip up the rule book when it comes to pop songwriting and the structure of a pop song. And yeah, no exception here, as shown by that wonderful action-packed outro.
Girls Aloud songs go either one of two ways. They either have a very sudden, abrupt end, or they have a lovely, lengthy outro. And I was just trying to think, what do I prefer? But I like all of them, because in the lengthy outros, you can hear a lot of the production and synths continuing that you don't always hear in the with the vocals over the top, which I enjoy. But also the power of ending a song suddenly, particularly a song like this, just further reinforces like the impact of it.
Yeah.
Now, Dan, I hate to do this again to you, but there's another writer on here who you might or might not recognize the name of. Jody Lee. Do you remember Jody Lee?
No.
Well, you probably need reminding when we listen to her hit song, Showdown. So, Dan, that's a little clip. Ring any bells?
No, I'd not heard Jody Lee Lovey's name before this, and I'd not heard that track, but more for me.
It was a top 34 hit back in 2003.
What number did it get to?
Number 34.
Oh, well done, Jody.
But clearly carving out a wonderful niche in songwriting. And what a group, what a band of merry men to join.
So, ready for another one, Will?
Yes, I'm ready.
Ready for a single?
Yes.
Ready for a banger?
Yeah, oh, God, yes.
It's track 3, Sexy, No, No, No.
Sexy No 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 there, and I don't know how where to start with this song. Just fantastic. I got goosebumps listening to that then, Dan. Still,
yes.
That's still how highly I hold this song. Not just as an extremely infectious electro pop punk track, but also as just a mind-bogglingly elaborately put together production, which I think can be kind of streamed as three different songs coming together with a hell of a lot of vocoder and just the rule books thrown out the window. It just defies all musical explanations or expectations. But at the same time, I think it really, really works.
I think it really, really does. I remember the first time I heard this song, and I just remember my mind was blown because it sounded like nothing else I'd ever heard before, and definitely it sounded like nothing else I'd heard a girl band or even a pop group do before. And, you know, as we said with the last song, Xenomania threw out the rule book. This time they burned it and they scattered the ashes from a mountaintop, and somehow from all of that, this is what came from it. It just defies logic. This shouldn't work as a girl band song, and yet it's one of my favourite all-time Girls Aloud songs.
And I have to say, it's as a girl band song as well. Great point, Dan. This stands head and shoulders above anything I've heard any girl band do of late, just in its power and ferocity as a pop song, really pushing the envelope of what pop music can be. And I remember back in the summer of 2007 when this was first released, first new song after a greatest hits album, and it absolutely blew my socks off. And I couldn't get enough of it when it came out. I just thought, I was so excited for what was going to come next because of this kind of statement of intent, not setting their stall out, a statement of intent for the future and for the next album, which they quickly announced was coming in the fall.
autumn.
And just that title alone, Sexy No No No, of course it doesn't appear like that in the song, but they do sing the words. But it was just, you know, it felt like a very important title. And we've said a few times about how seeing a title can make you want to listen to the song. And that was definitely the case with this one for me.
But what does it mean?
I think, like you said, it's empowerment. It's
like backing off from being...
Yeah, the girls are saying to each other, did you tell him? And then someone else will say, no, no, no. Give him kisses, no, no, no. It's there. The girls are in control.
No sexy, sexy.
No sexy, lovey. Also worth noting that the girls were co-writers on this one as well.
There are a lot of co-writers on this track, Dan, and there must be a reason why.
Yes, and this is something I learned while researching for the episode. Not only does it have a whole host of the Denimania team and the five members of Girls Aloud, it also features a sample of a track called Hair of the Dog by Nazareth, which was released in 1975. And Nazareth are a Scottish hard rock band who aren't on the long list, are they, Will?
No, they're not on the long list. I'd never heard of them until this song came about. So, yeah, the mind boggles with that. But that's what I love about the Denimania production. They will try anything out and see what works, see what sticks. And this was the first single from a new album. Dan, tell us about how it did.
So, Will, this entered the charts at number 64, if you can believe it, in September of 2007. But then the next week, it jumped up to number 5. If I remember correctly, at this time, the download was available a week before the physical CD. Or sometimes even maybe just a day before, but it counted as the chart from the week before. Something like that. I'll have to get on the phone to Carl, lovey.
And this was a great package as well, because you had a B-side, which was fantastically kind of glam rock, Dog Without a Bone. Coming soon to further listening, maybe. And also remixes. So Tony Lemesma, we've talked about him before. A pseudonym, obviously, for Brian Higgins and the Denimania team. Tony Lemesma's Yes, Yes, Yes mix is, I think, my favourite of his or their remixes. Because they only ever used to remix the Girls Aloud songs, but this is my favourite because it made this into a Europop opus that was absolutely mind-blowing. And I still listen to in the gym to this day.
Also, Will, just to rewind ever so slightly, some other great tracks in the top 10 that week for A Walk Down Memory Lane. You had Timbaland, again, with The Way I Are. You had Robin with Every Heartbeat. The aforementioned Rihanna with Shut Up and Drive. Kanye West with Stronger. And at number one, Sean Kingston with Beautiful Girls. Now, of course, a really prominent part of the track is the vocoder, which, in my memory, is the first time we heard the girls using that. And I think it's a really interesting decision because, of course, we know that these five girls can sing really well. They won a singing competition to be in Girls Aloud. But it's such a big part of the track. It's such an interesting decision to just mask their voices.
I think I like it in the context of the whole album, because there are other tracks, particularly later on in the album, where their voices are laid bare to be really enjoyed. So I'm quite happy that this kind of takes a few liberties with them.
And Dan,
we know they've got good voices because they won a competition.
Yes, didn't they, boys and girls? Did you vote for them?
Yeah.
No, you voted for Javine, you told me once. Oh, it's gone quiet now. A bit shy about that.
No comment.
But yeah, I have to say, I didn't mean that in a detrimental way, because I think it does add to the track. It's what makes this track so phenomenal and bonkers and wonderful.
We've got to move on, though.
Track 5, Girl Overboard.
Girl Overboard there, track four, and I'm running out of superlatives. I'm running out of gushiness, but again, this is something different. This is a really big Europop number, Eurodance, that could have been straight off the dance floors of southern Italy. I don't know why I said southern Italy. Could have been anywhere in Italy. But I just love the synths and the beats in this. They've got a real bounce to it. And also, again, another fantastic, clever, written song with some great sentiment to it.
Yeah, this for me, there's only three singles from this album. Some of the previous ones had four. I think if there was a fourth single, it would have been this one. It's just so strong. In fact, Will, it's so strong that when they did the Tangled Up tour, they opened with Sexy No No No, because of course, why wouldn't they? And then it went straight into Girl Overboard. So they knew the strength of the song.
Also, a popular misconception in the lyrics of this song, the line, "Give me something I can stick in." I can remember at the time, a lot of people very firmly believed it was actually something else.
Oh, what did they think it was?
"Give me something I can stick in."
Oh, God, disgusting.
But that would kind of undo a lot of the sentiment in the song as well. But obviously, no one was too fussed about that when this came out. But this is probably one of the most dance floor ready tracks on the album. I think with this and Close to Love and a song later, you would just have to get up and dance. I haven't done that today because it's too hot. But you would
very
have
hot.
To.
Mm. Still in that heat wave that we keep banging on about during recordings.
Oh, Dan, what was the guidance from the Podcasting Association for recording today?
It's just an amber warning today, so you can go ahead with recording, but it's recommended to have some fresh air and some doors open. So my window is open today, well, I don't mind saying. Apologies if any sirens go past. But as you've already said, well, the synths in this one are wonderful. They almost twinkle. There's some wonderful jittery electronics, certainly in the bridge. There's a real stomping beat to this one. But also, I love it when it strips it all back for the bridge, for the middle eight, sorry. And you've got that just acoustic guitar and vocal, and then it builds up again. And it's really almost EDM-like when those electronics come back in for the final bout of the chorus.
Yeah, there's a great drop, isn't there, just after that. It's just fantastic. And I can remember just about that tour, I think I was a bit overexcited, had a few drinks, but that was a moment. That opening was fantastic.
Well, I just want to ask, actually.
Yes?
Before we move on. Have you ever found yourself thrown overboard?
No, but me and my other half are addicted to below deck Mediterranean, which is most unlike us to get into a really trashy reality show. And
no, it's not.
Well, Mr. Love Island, bloody hell.
I don't watch that tripe.
No, and it's just a girl overboard. I don't remember seeing anyone go overboard because they're very security conscious, but there's a lot of drama amongst the crew that we are totally there for. And we're only on season four at the moment, but the Chief Stew, Hannah, is a real piece of work.
Talking of Chief Stew, what are you having for your tea tonight?
Shakshuka.
Oh, lovely.
Right, change of pace now, Dan. Track five, and you would better get your Duolingo on the go, because here is Can't Speak French.
So Can't Speak French there, of course, one that we know and love. This was the third single and final single released from the album. And this, I've probably said this already today, this has always been a favourite of mine. Such a different sound to the other two singles that came before it. But really, they had such a different sound from each other as well. But I love how quite jazzy and quite bluesy this one is, but still undeniably a Xenomania production.
Yeah, it's a great change of pace, a real mid-tempo electro sultry pulser, and it's all flouncy dresses and frilly knickers, isn't it? It just reminds me of the video where they're all done up like a dog's dinner, but looking absolutely fantastic. And actually, historically, period accurate.
Really?
I probably not, but it's nice. It's a bold statement to make. I was going to try and get away with it, but couldn't. But it was inspired by Marie Antoinette in the video and those wonderful fashions from back then. And I think it does go really nicely with the video, with the song. And it's a lovely juxtaposition to songs like Close to Love and Fling, which is coming up as well. Yeah, really, a really nice one. And a really different third single after two, a mid-tempo electropop, an absolute bonkers banger, and this one, which is more of a sultry electro-pulsing song.
According to Brian Higgins, this is one of the easiest tracks created for Girls Aloud. That doesn't make any sense, really. It's getting very hot in here. I shan't take off all my clothes, but this was one of the easiest songs to write for Girls Aloud. Maybe that's because, Brian, you forgot to do a second verse. You only put one verse at the start.
Do you think Miranda burst into the office? Here, Brian, where's second verse?
Oh, fucking hell. It's got recorded.
He left it on the bar in the pub, in the village pub, the night before.
But it's such a Girls Aloud thing to do. It's such a Xenomania thing to do. And it completely works. You don't get to the end of the song and think, oh, there's only one verse right at the start. It doesn't matter because it just is all so wonderful.
A big shout out as well to Jerome Attal, who translated the song into French for the single release. Because on CD2 of the single, you had Je ne parle pas français.
I don't mind saying, Will, that was very nearly my further listening choice for today.
Really?
I used to play that one a lot. I just love the idea of the girls getting their tongues around the French.
Or was it because you played it and you felt dead cultured like?
Yeah. If anyone was listening, what kind of music do you listen to? Oh, just some sort of French Baroque pop.
French language music.
Hmm. And I know I can translate every word as well.
So, yeah, this was the third single and another top 10 hit, number 9.
Yes, so interesting chart run for this one because it entered the charts at number 49 in February of 2008, and then it climbed to 35, to 20, to 16, and then to 9. So something's telling me that the chart rules maybe changed a little bit more during this time, because it's strange that it would have taken so long compared to the other ones.
I thought you were secretly giving out, subtly giving out your vital statistics to the listeners then. And we'll let the listeners decide what was what.
Yes, they're all very public anyway, on my OnlyFans, you have to put them on there. But number one that week, American Boy from Estelle featuring Kanye West, knocking off Duffy's Mercy, which was at number 2. You've also got in the top 10, Leona Lewis with Better in Time, One Republic with Stop and Stare, Nickelback with Rockstar, the less said the better about that one maybe. There's no such thing as a guilty pleasure, as we say. A new entry in the top 7 for Madonna with 4 Minutes with Justin Timberlake, of course. And as I said, Girls Aloud, number 9, Can't Speak French.
And we won't dwell on this too much because we might spoil, we might jump the gun for further listening, but there are some great extras on the single release.
Yes, as well as Je ne parle pas français or whatever that one was.
As well as Je ne parle pas français and the Tony Lemesma Passions remix. We might come on to that later.
Also, Will, worth noting that this was the third single from the album, but there was a single from Girls Aloud that charted between Call the Shots and Can't Speak French. Not a single, I should say, a track. And it was the theme to Centrinians, which charted at number 51 in January of 2008.
And that's probably enough said about that.
I mean, yeah, Will, while we're here, I know you just said that's enough said about that, but let me ask a question about that. You are a big, massive Girls Aloud fan. Do you listen to the Centrinians tracks much?
Yeah, absolutely. There are some great Xenomania produced on the Centrinians 2 soundtrack in particular, which are performed allegedly by the cast, but more with a kind of house vocal group. not the house gospel choir, like in-house vocalists under the name of the Band of St. Trinians. And also Sarah Harding, which we have talked about before. Some of the solo stuff she did were tracks for that album as well.
And in fact, I was listening through them for the upcoming Girls Aloud Further Listening episode. So maybe we'll hear something from them. Maybe we won't.
They're very faithful to the Xenomania house style of this time.
And before we move on to the next one, Will, I did just want to say this song, such a strong track, such a well-written track. Florence and the Machine covered this one in the Live Lounge.
Wow. You know, they had a lot of pop fans from other genres and other areas, didn't they? Which was one of the things I loved about them. They just sort of transcended from pop into indie, into more about that later, into other areas as well.
Absolutely.
Track six now, Blackjack. There's Blackjacks running down my back.
Now, this is another great song, of course, another slightly different sound. I'm getting real Blondie vibes from this one, Will. That intro with the drums, with the guitar, with the keys, it's all very classic Blondie-esque, but also the way they deliver the vocals as well. I think they really were channeling them for this one.
Yeah, I think that, but more so a very kind of 60s feel. And this is one of the aforementioned tracks where the vocals stand a lot more prominently to be enjoyed. You know, love the production, love the instruments involved in this, but that start when it's, oh, there's something I've got to say, and when they say, when they sing say, absolutely reaches a wonderful note as well. And then the chorus as well, which is a great kind of really sort of bangy, strummy affair. Also, I mean, you've got a lot of instruments in here, but you've also got the famous Xenomania reverse cymbal in here as well, which again was one of their hallmarks, particularly around this time.
Love a reverse cymbal. I particularly love the almost chant of New York, nothing, come and get stuck in, ... because when you listen to that bit, you can really pick out the individual vocals from the girls. Sometimes they're singing together, sometimes they're singing separate, but I love that each of them does have their own vocal style. They've all got, as we said before, competition winning voices. And I love listening to them in that part. So track seven then, Control of the Night.
Got sweet hassle, sweet talking me, got cheap babble, cheap talking free. What do you think of that?
I don't really know what to make of that, Will.
It's
what does
a
it all
line.
Mean?
It's a, well, exactly. It's a line from the song, and it's not sung by one of the girls, and it's heavily vocoded, so it could be anybody singing that, and it could mean anything. I wonder if it's actually Brian, or maybe it's just one of the singer-songwriters they had working at the Xenomania house that day. We'll never know, brackets. Someone will probably end up telling us.
Yeah. And I love that bit of the song. And like we said before about the vocoder on Sexy No No No, just brings another element to Girls Aloud and to Girls Aloud's work with Xenomania that we didn't really get before this album.
Also, trumpet, or maybe not trumpet, maybe more of a French horn or a bugle or a cream horn.
Oh, lovely. Oh. God, mouth watering now. Oh, don't make that noise.
I haven't got any, I'm afraid. So you'll have
slip,
to
slop,
wait.
Clip, clap.
You'll have to wait till another day for me to give you the horn.
Oh, good. I look forward to it, though.
This is a great album track and a kind of return to form of what you would expect to hear on a Girls Aloud album. But I love this kind of two-steppy kind of beat, drop beaty sound that this has got running through it, though, which kind of makes it something a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, with that brass, it's definitely a bit of a ska feel to it. But also, because of the guitar and the rhythm, I'm getting real hints of Round Round and In the Middle by Sugar Babes, which, of course, were both Xenomania productions. But I think the vocoder and the brass makes it its own separate thing to that. But, you know, I think definitely falls in line with those tracks. And Will, actually, we've done Angels with Dirty Faces. We haven't done Three by Sugar Babes yet. I'm really looking forward to doing that album.
Three and what was the one after Three?
Taller in More Ways.
Taller in More Ways. Can't wait to do those two. Brilliant, brilliant albums. Great, great girl band albums. Solid. Mm.
And of course, as we've said at the start, as with most Girls Aloud songs, the guitar so prominent, such a strong part of their sound. But in this one, I think you hear it even more. It's just the kind of funky summer sound merged with that brass and merged with that kind of swirl of the synths that makes this such a winner.
I know what you mean. I was listening to this on the way home earlier, and it's a really lovely sunny summer's day here in Bristol. Too hot, actually, if I do say so. But this was the perfect track to be listening to in the sun. Next one, track 8, and this is Fling.
Well, listening to the lyrics of this song, I've just had a flashback of walking past your tent at Glastonbury, and you and your other half were having a right row, right ding-a-ling, you could say, actually.
Very good, very good. And this is like Girls Aloud on heat. There's always one or two tracks on every Girls Aloud album that is completely almost slightly too much, or extra, as you might say these days.
Yeah. No, I don't think we said that anymore. I think that's about 2 years ago, actually, we said extra.
Sorry. I'll catch up one day.
Like me with EastEnders, I'll get there.
You'll never catch up now.
No, I won't. Too late.
But you know what I mean with this track? It is completely over the top, very aggressive, very... You could just imagine the girl, the lasses out for a night out on the town, probably in a northern town, actually. Mm. On the absolute lash, and they're walking down the high street with a bottom of Blossom Hill in one hand and a packet of 20 Regals in the other, in high heels, just ready to go for it. Lock up your sons.
Lock up your sons and your daughters.
Mm.
But yeah, it's so even more raucous than usual. I was getting hints of like Garbage or Republica in the sound of this one, but the delivery very much is a girl band track. But I love that they can do that.
But that guitar, that's thrashing away, that guitar in there. Probably the most prominent and most aggressive guitar in a Girls Aloud song, but totally in keeping with the very, very overt lyrics in this.
And let me just drag your mind back, Will, to the Tangled Up Tour, because this was played as the intro to the fourth section of the show, which then went into a cover of Push It by Salt and Pepper, which then went into a bit of a medley of Wake Me Up and Walk This Way. So clearly this was the edgier part of the set. And let me just also highlight some of the support acts they had during this tour, which took place in the summer of 2008. You had the Saturdays on there. You had Jessie J on there. And then let me see if any of these ring a bell, Will, because I don't recognise them. Billiam?
The name rings a bell, but I can't remember them.
They're a four-piece British boy band. They also supported Westlife in 2007. Their debut single, Beautiful Ones, reached number 32 in September of 2007, but obviously wasn't to be. Do you remember Stevie Hong?
No.
He co-wrote a track called Fight For You, which became a hit around the world for Jason Derulo. And there's also Luigi Massi.
I remember Luigi Massi. Allegedly, his dad bought his pop career for him, paid for it.
Really?
Yeah. Paid his way onto the tours into the charts and into releasing music as well, which is a shame because one or two of the tracks were quite good.
I don't remember the name. I don't remember the tracks. So sorry, Luigi, the money doesn't buy you everything.
But I'd love to know where he is now. If you're listening, Luigi. But funny how I vividly remember that from the time. And I think that was the time when I was all over the Pop Justice forums as well. And he was much talked about there. But Girls Aloud and the Saturdays on the same bill. That's got to be worth a ticket price. Well, actually, seeing Girls Aloud is worth a ticket price. But I mean, nice bonus.
And do you think, because I've never seen the Saturdays live either. Have you seen the Saturdays live? Or were they the support when you saw Girls Aloud?
Yeah, they were Ruddy support in the...
Oh, lovely. Yeah, I've never seen them. Are we going to see them together again one day, do you think?
No.
Oh, really?
Well, maybe. I don't know.
I think we might get something one day. Back to Fling, one of my favourite parts of this track, and I think one of the most iconic parts, is Sarah's Come Closer line. And that is just, you know, such a Sarah line, isn't it? Sometimes she takes it, and the way she delivers it, only she could have done that. And it was one of the moments re-listening to the album, but certainly listening on my way home from the day job today, because this isn't our full-time job, ladies and gentlemen. That bit really stood out to me. Okay, track 9 then. What are you crying for?
What you're crying for there, this is where we go a bit drum and bass. And I love the wow to this one. And I think track 9 in the album, and they continuing to switch it up and offer up some delights that we've not heard them venture into before. Great track.
Yeah, and I like that even though it is clearly very drum and bass influenced, it fits in with the flow of the album. You know, you might think that after listening to Can't Speak French, or if we'd said that some of the tracks sounded like In the Middle by Sugar Babes or sounded like Blondie, that a drum and bass-esque track would just feel weird. But it doesn't. Completely fits in. Did make me think, though, Will, because with Xenomania, sort of obviously been doing my research on Girls Aloud, been doing my research on Xenomania, such an iconic institution for pop music, and some of our favorite songs ever have come from there, and there's a lot written about them, of course. And I read two very contradictory things this week. I read one that said that the writers didn't listen to the radio on purpose because they didn't want to be influenced by what was going on in the charts, and I think that was from Brian Higgins himself, perhaps. And then I also read from someone else, which I think was one of the members of Franz Ferdinand, who of course we're going to work with them, but we didn't hear any of it, that said that the writers would listen to Radio 1 all day, every day, to see what was making a hit at the time.
Maybe the actual reality is somewhere in between, but I do like the whimsical idea that they don't listen to the radio, they just create and make things that they sound brilliant. And I'm sure there's an element of that. But at the same time, you want to have a hit.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you think about Sexy No No No, though, that didn't sound like anything else on the radio.
No, 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 though. No, 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 no.
No, 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 no.
No, 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 no. Parking is allowed on the Aberfield.
Track 10 now. I'm Falling. Falling there, and Dan, this is one I always avoid singing along to because there's no way I'm getting up there to the notes that the girls can reach on that song.
Christ, no. Please, no.
This one,
When I was young, I wanted to be a punk rocker, but everybody said no. And I was sure that if I ever had a shocker, the same old folks would say go. Crazy.
This could be your... I was going to say that part could be your karaoke song, but you'd need someone with you to do the next bit. Oh, I could do the chorus.
Oh, no, Dan, I've just replaced the double glazing.
It did make me think of... it's quite an obvious comparison, but... I Wish I Was a Punk Rocker by Sandy Tomlevy. That huge number one back in 2005.
Cool. I haven't heard anyone say the name Sandy Tom for a long time.
But the last time that I saw her in the news or on the Twitter and whatnot was because obviously that was her huge hit and nothing really got anything like or did nearly as well as that one did. And a few albums later, she had a new track and Radio 2 didn't playlist it. And she released a video on Twitter and she was crying and she was furious and she was saying, why aren't you playlisting this song? Not heard from her since.
Interestingly, one of the songwriters on this one is the other half of the Mania duo, Niara Scarlett as well. So both involved.
Now this track, obviously it's a very interesting song, the way that it starts with that guitar, just the guitar, and then it builds up with those effects, quite industrial effects.
More futuristic.
Well, quite futuristic. There's lots happening musically, and quite quickly it builds up. It kind of made me think, it gives you an idea of how Xenomania might put a track together, because this one really is layer upon layer upon layer.
And I like the fact when it reaches that crescendo, I can't talk, crescendo, it all sort of starts to tumble down again as well.
In the song, Will, they sing, I need some va-va-voom. Did you know that phrase originated from the advert? It wasn't a phrase before that.
Yeah, for that popular car brand.
Yeah, we're not allowed to say, actually.
What do you think if we say it, they'll send us a couple?
Oh, say it then. Skoda.
Renault.
Oh. Oh, Lada.
Robin Reliant.
Oh, I'd love us to have a Robin Reliant each. Absolutely love that. But like Mr. Bean and his rival.
Three-wheeler.
We're chatting nonsense, so should we move on to the next one?
Yes, let's. Track 11 is Damn.
Will.
Oh, do you remember that? When was it?
What?
The two lads. Damn, Daniel.
Yeah, but what was it from? In my head, it was from Ugly Betty, but it probably wasn't that.
No,
was it?
I think it was from, it was like a Vine or a YouTube or something from the time. Again, sounding extremely old here.
Oh. What's a Vine, Will?
A Vine was what, wasn't it what a tick, like what a TikTok used to be?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. The Vines were better.
Yeah, back in the olden days. Now this is, this reminds me a little bit, if you listen to the production, it reminds me a little bit of Models, the song, the Girls Aloud song, Models. But it also reminds me of, and we referenced them earlier, Frank, the girl band as featured on Sunday mornings on T4, who had whose music was all produced by Xenomania and written by many different people, a lot of whom we've already referenced. But similar sort of sound as well, actually. Which I was quite partial to at the time, but they didn't have a musical career. They didn't really leave Sunday mornings.
Bless them.
Well, they tried to release, but they just weren't commercially successful.
But this track, I really like this one. It's fun. It's quite 60s-esque.
Mm.
I feel like this could have been in a film. It feels like it could have been maybe one of the Centrinian songs or something like that. It's just wonderfully... It's quite theatrical in a way, but also... I love how the bridge just merges into the chorus. And again, great guitar. It got me thinking, I think there were probably a few bands around at the time that were seeing what was happening with Girls Aloud and with Xenomania. And we know about Pet Shop Boys. We know about Franz Ferdinand. But I was thinking this song, like I could imagine this being the outcome of like Ting Tings and Xenomania getting together or something like that.
Dan, I love the
Flights of fancy you go on sometimes. You imagine the unimaginable.
Thank you very much, I think.
You think the unthinkable.
Yes. But, Will, I've actually got, dare I say, I don't want to say a negative, but just something about this song that doesn't sit well. I'm just not sure of the placing of it. I think after I'm falling, it's a bit of a juxtaposition from that very industrial, robotic, heavy sound into this whimsy, if you like. Maybe this could have come a little earlier.
I would definitely juggle the last three tracks on the album. So it goes Crocodile Tears, then Damn, then I'm Falling. Because I don't think Crocodile Tears is the right track to end the album on.
Well, we've got one track left.
Should we find out?
Yeah, should we find out, boys and girls?
I've already said. Yeah, here we go. Crocodile Shoes. Tears.
So, Crocodile Tears there, and maybe the closest thing to a traditional ballad we're going to get on this album. Well, not maybe, this is the last song, this is it. But it's nothing like I'll Stand By You or See The Day or anything like that. They really have decided with this album to go for all electronics, all out. But just as they started things, you know, a little bit slower with Call The Shots before really getting into it, I think this does the same thing. And I have to say, I really do love this as an album closer. I think it's a stunning track that fits, despite what I said about the placing of the last two tracks, really fits in with the theming of the album.
Well, I think I've already made my feelings clear that I think I'm Falling should end, and this should be the penultimate track of the album. And it's nice, it's lovely, and, you know, No Girls Allowed song is a bad song. Don't quote me on that. But what a great time to talk about the fantastic album artwork. And unusually for Girls Allowed, the album, they're not on the cover. This is Girls Allowed, and the logo is kind of tangled up in wires, with Tangled Up at the bottom. And this is the new style, more mature Girls Allowed logo as well. Which is less kind of attitude-y and a little bit more stylish. However, I do want to shine a spotlight on the singles artwork, which are a lot more, the girls are a lot more prominent and a lot more fun. Like Call the Shots, they're tangled up in telephone wires. In Sexy No No No, they've got the giant needles as featured in the videos. And Can't Speak French, they're obviously all trussed up like a Christmas dinner.
I have to say, well, you said what a great time to talk about the fantastic album artwork. I think it's a bit rubbish, to be honest.
Yeah, it's
a bit
lazy. It's not that great.
But also, obviously, you said great single artwork, and there is the special fan edition of the artwork that has the girls on there. I don't know why they didn't just use that as a standard one. It's so much nicer.
And the girls are, as hoped, tangled up.
Yes.
So, just a word on the album performance. Oh, first of all, just a word about Mixed Up. So
yes, yeah.
This dates things. If you were lucky enough to buy the album from Woolworths, you could also pick up a limited edition remix album called Mixed Up, which was mixed by Jules and Stone, who we've talked about before on the podcast. And this was a 8-track mini album of remixes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of which were Tony Lemesma mixes. Another one of a seventh was an Almighty one, and the eighth was the Double Funk clean vocal mix. I have to say it's great fun, but if you're a Girls Allowed fan, you already have those and already be enjoying them. But if you were a completist at the time, you had to get it.
Did you get it?
I got it.
Of course you got it. Also worth noting that the whole of Mixed Up as 1 half-hour track is available on streaming. It is available at the end of the Tangled Up album.
So don't worry about the fact that Woolworths is closed permanently, because you can still listen to it as a continuous mix. This album, it was a number four hit in the album chart and was a platinum album as awarded by the British pornographic industry as well. Critically acclaimed, 4 5-star interviews, 4 5-star reviews everywhere, from your Guardians to your Digital Spies to your BBCs, and NME gave it 7 out of 10. I think all of the critics loved the more mature sounds, the experimentation, the non-conventional song structure, and the real melange of musical styles in this album as well. In summary, one of their best.
Agreed. But it's not the end of the episode, because, of course, we do have some further listening for you ahead of our Girls Aloud further listening episode, as we said. So hopefully we won't be doubling up, Will. Are you going to be doubling up?
No, I'm not going to be doubling up, because I've got enough in my arsenal to fill the bowl twice over.
That was your grinder bio, wasn't it, at one point? So, Will, I would love for you to go first.
So here we go then with a wonderful B-side from Can't Speak French. It's a stunning B-side. Hoxton Heroes. So that was Hoxton Heroes, B-side to Can't Speak French. This was a real girl collab between Miranda and the girls, talking about the indie scene and really just sticking it to them, because they were Girls Aloud and you know, they could. But however, it was too controversial, apparently, to go on the album. So it was a B-side instead. But I love the attitude to this. I love the references in this, and also it's got a lovely twinkly outro, which I know is a footnote, but I like it.
Yeah, I like the attitude of it. It's definitely one of their more fun songs on an album that saw them go in a little bit more of a more mature direction. And I like the fact that the girls, clearly big fans of this one, with Kimberly saying they say we're a manufactured band, but they're just as manufactured, talking about some of the indie bands that this song is dissing, if you like. But also clearly a big hit with the fans, because the fans voted this to be selected for disc 2 of 10, the greatest hits album that was released in 2012.
I'm not surprised, because along with that, Memory of You jumps to mind as well, as those kind of almost hits that could have been, or a path that could have been taken. And I love Memory of You, Dan.
Memory of You, as we discussed the Nicola Roberts version on the Cinderella Eyes episode, it's not only one of my favourite Girls Aloud songs, it's one of my favourite Xenomania songs ever. It's just so
beautiful,
good. I can't believe
it?
How, you know, it's not unknown by the fans, but it could have been a huge hit single, I think.
Do you know what? I'm going to have a listen to it after we've finished recording today.
Well, this week I've been playing it a lot in preparation for our 2 upcoming Girls Aloud episodes.
Just to get in the zone. I want to get in the zone. Dan, what have you gone for?
So, also from the Can't Speak French single, another one of the B-sides. It's not Hoxton Heroes. It's not Je ne parle pas français. It's...
Ooh,
yeah, that's quite good, actually, wasn't it? Didn't expect it to be that good. This is a track we talked about earlier. It's With Every Heartbeat by Robin and Clear Up. And this is the girls doing it in the lifeline.
We could keep trying, but things will never change. So why don't look back? Still I'm dying with every step I take. But I don't look back. Just a little bit better.
So With Every Heartbeat there from the Live Lounge, I chose this for quite a few reasons, actually. One, I think after everything we've heard today, it's great to show the girls' voices prominently, and there's some wonderful moments in here, and particularly the harmonies are great. Two, of course, With Every Heartbeat is just a stunning song anyway, and we have talked about that on the Robin episode. Three, I love the fact that Girls Aloud were doing the Live Lounge. As I said before, they were so successful as a girl band that, you know, not a lot of pop acts got to go in the Live Lounge with the, in quote marks, proper artists, but they did. But also, the girls clearly such a fan of the track and of their version of it that they performed it on the Tangled Up tour as well.
And if you're so still with us, you're listening to Track by Track. What I love about this is how great it is to end the episode on something much more stripped back after all of the noises we've had on this episode. Also, Girls Aloud, very much for me like Spice Girls, where when they sing like this, I can totally hear who's singing and enjoy all the individual contributions to it. Truly a great girl group is when you can feel them all pulling in together towards that song. And obviously Nadine is really going hell for leather as well on there.
Yeah, lots of great Sarah moments as well.
We're out of time. So that was Tangled Up, and what a fun time we've had with everything we talked about.
Yeah, I love these trips down memory lane for some of the episodes we've released over the last 2 or 3 years. Obviously, so much has changed. When that came out, we didn't know there'd be another Girls Aloud tour. But great to go back, listen to those songs again, hear what we said about them again. Also, just the excitement for me, Will, is will we get to hear those songs live on tour? I'm talking about the album tracks because the girls have been saying they've been listening to the fans and they know that we want to hear album tracks as well as the singles.
I love watching the girls on their socials getting ready for the tour. And I remember seeing Kimberly the other day, and I think she was a bit knackered, and sort of saying, oh God, am I ready for a tour? Very exciting. Like you say, can't believe we're here. But let us know your thoughts on Tangled Up, the remixes, the B-sides, what else was going on in the pop world at the time, at Track by Track UK, if you please.
Yes, do let us know what you think about the episode as well. Let us know, definitely want to know, which album tracks do you want to hear on the Girls Aloud show tour. Also, I can't wait to see all the videos and all the photos from it. It's such an exciting show. It's one of the most anticipated pop shows, I think, for some time.
So, Dan, can you give us a hint of a tease as to what's coming up next?
So, next week on a brand new episode for all, we are going track by track through the 6th studio album from an iconic electro-pop duo.
Oh!
I cannot wait to talk about this album.
It's not Pet Shop Boys. So until next time, thank you for listening. We'll see you again soon. Until then.
I've been calling the shots.
And I've been a dog without a bone.
Aww.
Goodbye. Goodbye. I can't speak. Oh, Daddy.
Bad Daddy.
So, not Bad Daddy. Nothing like fresh chicken, is there?
For the benefit of the listener, a man just crept into Will's room and put some meat into his mouth while we were live on FaceTime.
No lies detected. Delicious.